Well, our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Jonah. How many have read the book of Jonah? Quite a few, but there's still a few that haven't. So this might be interesting for those who haven't, who don't know the book of Jonah, but may know a little bit about Jonah because he's pretty famous. So the book of Jonah is just 4 chapters long. And before this Jonah 3 passage that I'm going to read today, I just want to explain to you that those who don't know the Jonah story a lot in detail, Jonah has tried to disobey God by boarding a ship headed the opposite direction from Nineveh, where God has called him to prophesy. Well, that's a sign from God, I guess. He ended up in the belly of a big fish, and that is how God felt about it. He was really upset with Jonah, so he got thrown off the boat and ended up in the belly of a big fish. We call it a whale, but it actually in the Bible just says big fish. But he survived 3 days there in the belly of the big fish, and then he was vomited up onto the shores of Nineveh. And then Jonah decided he better obey God. And so he prophesied to the Ninevites, and they repented and started behaving righteously. And now we come to this point in the story. This is Jonah 3, 10 to Jonah 4, 11. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. But this was very displeasing to Jonah, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord and said,
"O Lord, is not this what I said while I was still in my own country? This is why I fled to Tarshish at the beginning, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and ready to relent from punishing. And now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live."
And the Lord said, "Is it right for you to be angry?" Then Jonah, while sulking, went out of the city and sat down east of the city and made a booth for himself there, which would be like a shelter. And he sat under it in the shade, waiting to see what would become of the city. The Lord God appointed a bush and made it come over Jonah to give shade over his head, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was very happy about the bush. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the bush so that it withered. When the sun rose, God prepared a sultry east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint and asked that he might die. Jonah said,
"It is better for me to die than to live."
But God said to Jonah, "Is it right for you to be angry about the bush?" And Jonah said,
"Yes, angry enough to die."
Then the Lord said, "You are concerned about the bush for which you did not labor and which you did not grow. It came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not be concerned about Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? And also many animals?" Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Now, Jonah had quite the impertinent personality, didn't he? Impertinent basically means rude and disrespectful to authority. Of all the biblical stories, even those who don't know the Old Testament well usually know at least something about Jonah. And here's a couple more things that you might not know about him. Do you remember that Jesus tells his disciples that he will experience something similar to what Jonah experienced? I think it's easy to forget this. In Matthew 12:40, Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish, So the Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. So he's reminding his disciples about Jonah when he's explaining how he will be gone and then come back. And did you know the story of Jonah is repeated in the Quran, in the religion of Islam? I think a lot of people don't realize that the whole story is in the Quran. And at the end of it, it sums up the lesson in like this. The story of Prophet Jonah teaches us to have patience, especially in the face of adversity. The Quran says, it teaches us to remember God in the good times and the bad. It teaches us to remember God in this life so that God will remember us when we die. If we remember God when we are young, God will remember us when we are old. And if we remember God when we are healthy, God will remember us when we are sick, sad, or tired. Distress can be relieved only by turning to God with sincerity. I guess that's a message, too, that we're supposed to, to get. I'm just going to say a good teaching about God, isn't it? So this, if you want to read the whole way they explain the story of Jonah, you can go to www.islamreligion.com and then just type in the story of Jonah and this comes up. They do say it in a little bit of a different order, but all the parts of the story are there. So it's fascinating to see what's in the Quran about Jonah. But Jonah's response is really puzzling, isn't it? You'd think he'd be so respectful of God and so trusting. Most prophets would have been rejoicing because the people they prophesied to had really listened. So why was Jonah not happy about God sparing the city of Nineveh? Well, at that time, Nineveh was the heart of the Assyrian Empire, which caused much death and destruction to Israel. Nineveh was the most hated cities of the Israelites because they were ruthless and cruel to the Jewish nation. Jonah was upset because these would have been like us going to the nation of ISIS and trying to embrace them and get them to repent, knowing that God would forgive them if they did. So Jonah didn't want to do that, and I think we can understand maybe why. Jonah was to warn and forgive people on behalf of God who he thought were hopeless, depraved killers. Now, this would be a really challenging assignment for anyone. But the key foundation missing in Jonah's prophetic work was trust. Trust in God and trust along with a heart of servant leadership. Now, according to theologian and author Frederick Buechner, he said this about the Jonah story. Within a few minutes of swallowing the prophet Jonah, the whale suffered a severe attack of acid indigestion. And it's not hard to see why. Jonah had a disposition that was enough to curdle milk. When God ordered him to go to Nineveh and tell them there to shape up and repent from their wicked ways, Jonah basically went into shock. In the first place, the Ninevites were foreigners, and thus in his mind, they were not his responsibility. Jonah thought of himself as being a prophet to the Jews. In the second place, far from wanting to see them get saved from destroying themselves, nothing would have pleased him more than to see them get what he thought they had coming to them. In a desperate attempt to get himself out of the assignment to Nineveh, he got himself swallowed by the whale instead. But the whale couldn't stomach him for long, and in the end, Jonah went on ahead, and with a little more prodding from God, he did what he'd been commanded. But he hated every minute of it. And when the Ninevites succumbed to God's commands and they promised to shape up, Jonah was deeply disappointed. He sat down in the hot sun, hoping to die. But our forgiving, caring God created a plant to shade him. Then after Jonah got accustomed to the shade, God caused the plant to shrivel up to the last leaf. And when Jonah got all upset about being back in the ghastly heat again, God pretended to misunderstand what was bugging him. Okay, so I guess we'll just talk louder. Here you are, all upset, out of pity for one small plant that was shriveled up, he said. So what's wrong with having pity for this whole place that's headed for hell in a handbasket if someone doesn't help them see the way they were meant to be in this world? Now, Jonah was a great prophet, and some biblical scholars say that he was more successful in getting people to listen to him than Jeremiah and Ezekiel, because he saved over 120,000 people from self-destruction in one day. So Jonah was a great prophet, but he wasn't such a great leader. And so that's where the story ends with Jonah. Great leaders have certain characteristics, and Jonah was missing many of these. He lacked empathy, humility, integrity, moral fortitude, wisdom, and most of all, patience. One thing he did have was resilience, which every leader needs to have too. Anyone who can survive 3 days in the belly of a whale is resilient. But he was missing all those other things that were very important. In my Leadership Santa Rosa continuing education that I'm doing this year, we discuss different styles of leadership and which style we tend to use the most. After taking a long survey that measured leadership style, it concluded that the majority of time I am what they call people-oriented and transformational. But one of the members in my small group when we were discussing this, who also works for a nonprofit, she said she was disappointed when her results showed that she had a servant leadership style. And I told her I was hoping for that result. Jesus modeled for us effective servant leadership, leading by doing and doing for others. But I do see Jesus here every day in this church when I watch and work with the deacons and with the chairs of our session committees who are strong servant leaders. Without them and all their committee members, the Church of the Roses would be in terrible shape today. God has blessed us with awesome servant leaders, and so I'd like to introduce these great role models to you and encourage you, even though you'll be inspired probably to clap for them after I'm done talking about them, I'd like you to hold your clapping until we're all done introducing all of them. So first, Steve Fenner. I'd like to ask Steve to stand so you can see who Steve is if you don't know Steve. Steve is our Buildings and Grounds chairperson. Now, he just returned from a very long trip overseas, but he was here still last Tuesday, probably still with jet lag, in our parking lot. When I drove up, he had a mask on his face, blowing up lots of dirt and leaves so our parking lot would be clutter-free. All of our Buildings and Grounds, men and women, work long and hard hours, on Tuesdays especially, but they're often here on other days of the week too, doing all that they can to share their gifts and talents with this church so that we don't have to spend money on garden cleanup, rose clipping, and building repairs. The B&G crew is what we call them, are our modern-day miracle workers that save our church about $60,000 a year with their free maintenance and gardening skills. So please stand if you're currently on the Buildings and Grounds Committee. There's a bunch of us. We're very grateful for you all. Thank you so much. You may be seated. I'm asking you to wait, not clap right now. Our faithful servant leader, Bill Morgan, Bill, will you please stand, is our membership committee chairperson who inspires his committee to creatively explore ways to help people feel comfortable and welcome in our church. Bill's committee keeps track of all the church family members and works with the deacons to find out why some members are no longer coming to church so we can call and provide support if that's what they need. The membership committee develops events like the Spring Fling in partnership with a fellowship committee every year to invite the community into our church as much as we can too, so they will feel comfortable being here. The membership committee hosts the inquirers classes, and they have inspired 60 new members to join our church family in the past 4 years. Bill also represents our church in outside the church activities, along with his wife, Nancy, who's our finance manager. And like the Pedals for Protein ride that they just completed yesterday, they helped raise over how much? $35,000 for Pedals for Protein to help our food banks around the whole of Santa Rosa have protein in them for the people who come for food. So they represent us there and our ambassadors there with that group. So we're so thankful. Will all the membership committee please stand? You all work very hard. So thank you so much for your work on the membership committee. You may be seated. Now, Kay Young is our worship committee chair. So Kay, will you please stand? And she's our Stephen ministry leader also. Besides singing in the choir and bell ringing and our backup piano accompanist, Kay chairs the group that helps Barbara and I plan all the worship services and also guides our debriefing about how well we did with worship services in the past. Kay and her committee are skilled at decorating the church for all the seasons, and they're always willing to try new things in the worship service, like our new passing of the peace that we're doing now. They have also been very supportive of the creation of new worship services like Sacred Space and our Friday Vespers services. And her committee makes sure that there are ushers, the flowers, communion servers, and greeters for the services Sunday after Sunday. The worship committee members are so valuable to our whole church. And we also want to include the sound people, the audio and projection people in this, because they also are a subset of the worship committee. And the Stephen ministry, who ministers silently but caringly to people one-to-one in the church, since Kay is the leader of that group too. So will you all please stand? If you're in Stephen ministry, or if you're in the worship committee, or you're part of sound, audio, projection. And look around and see many of them are towards the back. So thank you so much for all that you do through keeping our church going. Now, Chris Rhodes. Chris Rhodes is our youth council leader who supports Eddie Seaman's role as our director of youth activities. And Chris is also the coordinator for our Montgomery High School breakfast program, besides being the director of Westminster Woods, which is the Presbytery of the Redwoods, really important camp and retreat center. Chris is a commissioned lay pastor, a commissioned ruling elder. They have very different names for what Chris does now. But he's prepared to always be our backup preacher, which I know you always enjoy when he preaches, when Cassie and I are away. And Chris also helps with the leadership of the service and learning trips that we go on, like down to Mexico last year. And he represented our church also in the Pedals for Protein fundraising ride. I'm so grateful for the humble, quiet, and wise leaders in our church like Chris, who are content to lead behind the scenes with a strong devotion to our church. So will the youth council members who help Eddie and Chris coordinate the youth activities please stand? The youth council. I know Robert is part of that. Is Robert? There you go. Robert's here. Yeah. So Robert's been very important in that. And Cassie helps with it too. So thank you guys so much for all that you do. Now, Jonathan Steele. Jonathan has been the chair of the Church and World Committee ever since I came here 4 years ago. And Jonathan leads a compassionate group of folks in discerning the development of our mission programs as we seek to serve inside and outside the church wherever there is a need. The Church and World Committee disperses funds but it also organizes hands-on service that we can do locally and regionally in order to give of ourselves in tangible ways. So now we're looking at Habitat for Humanity and getting involved with them again for a faith build, is what they call it. Servant leadership requires having a sense of humor, though. And thanks to Jonathan's big laugh, our meetings always include a lot of laughter, despite the serious decisions that we have to make. So, Church and World Committee, will you all please stand? Church and World Committee. Thank you all for all that you do. And Bob Snader's also on that committee. He's not here today. And Alice Crouch is very important on that committee, and Alice isn't here today. So thank you so much. Now, Jim Taylor. Jim Taylor is a servant leader for our church staff as the chair of our personnel committee, which helps to make sure we're supported financially within the pledged budget, but also the personnel committee provides advocacy support as well. Jim is very busy working with a lot of staff at Hansel Ford, where he always works during the day, but he finds a way to get here and lead our monthly personnel meetings as our main human resources elder. Jim and the committee helped hire 5 of our current wonderful staff that we have today. So we already had me and Barbara and Althea, but now we added Jamie Knutson, Ruth Caniff, Cassie Carroll, Eddie Siemens, Nancy Morgan, and Chelsea Howard. Chelsea isn't here today, but we are just so grateful for Jim and the whole committee's support and willingness to expand our staff so our church can do even more outreach to the community. So will the whole personnel committee please stand? So we have Linda and Robert. Yeah, personnel. And Jean. And then Roger Wong isn't here, but Roger is also a part of the committee. Thank you so much for all the personnel committee does. Now, Chris Nelly is our finance and stewardship chair, and Chris isn't here today, but his wife Nancy is here. And I know Chris told me he was going to be away. But I just wanted to let you know that Chris's faith in God and his finance management expertise is very helpful. Chris accepted his role as our finance committee chair, even though the idea of church members pledging funds to a faith-based budget was totally a foreign concept to him since he came from the Catholic religion, and it's handled totally different in the Catholic Church. But I'm so thankful to Chris for his faith in us and in our efforts to keep this church financially sustained for the benefit of the whole community and for future generations. So will the rest of the Finance and Stewardship Committee please stand? We have Barbara Nelson's on there too now. Barbara, you can stand too. You've agreed to be on stewardship. And this is all our Finance Committee. Thank you so much for all that you do. Deborah Baker. Deborah, will you please stand? Deborah Baker is not only our fellowship chairperson who makes sure we have snacks and delicious meals and gatherings ready and served in our church in big and small ways, but she's also a leader nationally as a geriatric nurse practitioner. Deborah has the important leadership qualities of patience, organizing, and a love for both people and food that are requirements to be a fellowship chairperson. She also leads our Roses Health Ministry along with Christy Page, Ann Wong, Philippa Jones, Dr. Yi, and Valerie Peterson, who are here today to help you with your blood pressures and anything you need to keep us healthy in body, mind, and spirit. So will the Fellowship Committee and the Health Ministry Committee please stand? Good. Yeah, we're so grateful for all of you keeping us healthy and also providing healthy food for us. God bless you. Thank you. Tony Burrill. Tony, there he is. He played bells this morning for us, but he jumped back into church life wholeheartedly these past few years, and now he role models what resilient and hardworking church leadership looks like in action. Tony decided it was the right time in his life to share all the wisdom and deep faith he has acquired over the years as our chair of adult Christian education. And sometimes you'll see his poetry in our rose clippings because we like to publish his poetry too. Tony has so much heart and devotion, and work so hard to make every class really important. So if you're not attending the Bible study video class led by Nita Penny on Mondays and then Tony and Linda Burrill on Wednesdays, you're missing out on free, high-quality, comprehensive theological and church history education. This is the quality of what you would get at seminary, what they are presenting on Mondays and Wednesdays. So I really hope that you will take advantage of this free education that they are offering for you. So will all the Adult Education Committee members please stand? Great. Thank you so much for your help giving us an education. And Diane Osten, who is with the kids. Oh, Diane's here. Yeah, Diane's right back there now. I thought she had to run off. She's the leader of the Children's Department of Christian Education. Diane has such a heart for children. She wanted to make sure that there's a focus on kids, too, in our Christian Education Department. And that energy has really helped us gather more children. She's also represented our church, though, until yesterday in the Petals for Protein ride this year. So we're really proud of your bravery for joining in with the crew on Petals for Protein. And Diane's email is called Pet Mom because she shelters dogs and cats and little people under her wings for protection and education. Now, Chelsea Howard is sick today, so she's not here, but Diane works very closely with Chelsea Howard, coordinating the Sunday school classes on Sundays, and then leading the summertime vacation church school as well. And we had 14 or 18 kids, yes, between 14 and 18 children this summer here for the vacation church school, so it's getting a little bit bigger every year. Diane has been in this church almost since she was born, and you would think that she would get tired of giving, 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 but she's been a teacher in the school system at the same time that she's giving here as well. But thank goodness her Energizer batteries are still going, and Diane is still very willing to focus her energies here at church too. So will all the Children's Christian Education Committee please stand? Many of you were up front earlier today too. Christian Education Committee, are there any more? Okay, we have Amy here, thank you. And then Marilyn Stark is back, and Brian Smith, you're part of it. Yeah, he didn't stand. So thank you so much. Dave Nelson. Dave is the elder servant leader of our nominating committee. Dave's standing back there if you're wondering where he is. This group meets behind the scenes, sometimes even weekly, until they get a full slate of new deacons and elders in line, ready to replace the outgoing church officers. Now we have 18 deacons and 12 elders, so there are usually at least 8 or more new leadership positions to fill every year. Dave and the nominating committee reviews who is eligible to become church officers based on church attendance and faithful devotion to the church in general. Then they recruit people who they believe would be willing and able leaders for our session and our board of deacons. They work to be sure that all church members who participate regularly are given a fair chance to lead. And so will the rest of the nominating committee please stand? Thank you so much for all the work you do, and it's very important. Now, Alice Crouch isn't here today, but I wanted to talk about Alice because she's our beloved clerk of session, and she's devoted most of her life to Presbyterian mission work with her late husband, the Reverend Ted Crouch, for over 50 years of their life together. And now she devotes her life to partnering with our church in documenting all the session meetings for the history of the church, which is very important for every church to have a clerk of session. And so Alice is another quiet but strong leader who makes sure that I'm not forgetting something when we're scheduled to do something for the church year that we need to do, or to keep things, quote, decently and in order as she takes our session minutes and keeps track of all of our meetings. Alice is like a shepherding guardian angel of our church, and she also participates with Presbyterian women and with our Presbytery of the Redwoods on behalf of our church. And now these are all of our effective leaders in the church, so let's give them all a clap. I I'm going to ask them all to come forward right during the benediction so that they can be all lined up here and ready to go out into Bowen Hall so that you all can talk to them and ask them any personal questions that you might have in the fellowship time. To be an effective leader in the church, you must keep your eyes upon Jesus as your role model and your trust in God while working with imperfect humans. And that is another great lesson in the story of Jonah. Jonah wasn't perfect, but God didn't give up on him, despite his impertinent attitude. God eventually found a way to motivate Jonah to participate in his wonderful, redemptive, and transformative work with the people of the city of Nineveh, who God deemed was worth saving, because all people are worth saving. And animals, I don't know if you saw that this scripture includes the animals too. So even those who at first sight might seem to be our enemies, God knows their hearts can be transformed with love and repentance and forgiveness. So if you don't already, we hope that you will join these amazing leaders that have stood up today in God's work and participate in the wonderful ministries that God is leading us to develop here at the Church of the Roses. Now, Jonah's story was commemorated by Louis Armstrong in his album of songs about stories from the good book, is what he calls it. And he says, "The lesson we learn from Jonah is, when you hear the call, don't you turn the gospel down." And so if you get a call from our nominating committee, please don't turn the gospel down if you can serve. And we're going to play this video for you. And I think we'll move on into the prayer of the people right afterwards then, so we can save some time and you have more time to celebrate in Bowen Hall. Let's listen to Louis Armstrong.
Jonah was a man, got a word from the Lord, to go and preach the gospel to a sinful land. But he got on a ship and he tried to get away, and he ran into a storm in the middle of the sea. Now the Lord made the wave just to roll so high, the ship began to sink and they all began to cry. So they pulled old Jonah out of the hole, and they chunked him in the water just to lighten up the load. Now the Lord made a whale long and wide.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
And he swallowed up Jonah, hair and hide.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish? Lord, Lord.
Now Jonah started to pray in the belly of the whale.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
He repented of his sins like a man in jail.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish? Lord, Lord.
Now Jonah must have been a bad man. He must have been a sinner.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
'Cause when the whale got him down, he didn't like his dinner.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
Well, he swam around the ocean, sick as he could be. Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish? And after 3 days, whoops, he had to set him free.
Lord, Lord,
wasn't that a fish? So the whale spit Jonah out on the dry land.
Lord, Lord, wasn't that a fish?
And he went on to preaching like a righteous man.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
Then the people quit their sins when they heard him into town.
Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
So when you hear the call, don't you turn the gospel down. Lord, Lord, what manner of fish?
Isn't that fun? And so may we remember the story of Jonah and remember that the gospel is something we should never turn down, but to spread it wherever we can.